Our lesson from the Old Testament today is taken from the book of Psalms, reading in Psalm number 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are to be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption, for He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. May God bless to our understanding this reading of His word. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Back in October 1996, my wife Sue and I drove from Lincoln, Vermont, down to Jackson, Mississippi. The reason for going down there was that we had had our third grandchild born in April of that year. And it had been about 5 months and we'd never seen him, so we drove down there to visit him. And also our son Chris, his wife Donna, and our other grandchildren, Benjamin, the first grandson, and Talia, our beautiful adopted granddaughter. Back at that time, my son Chris and his family were living and ministering in the ghetto in West Jackson. And they, with a number of other Christian families and single people, had bought an old farmhouse on Robinson Street in the ghetto, renovated it, and were living together in a common household, sharing resources, responsibilities, and spiritual life. They called it the Antioch House. One night as we were sitting at the big dining room table after dinner having coffee, Sue and I and Chris and Donna, our grandson Christopher, who had been put to bed a few minutes ago, began to cry. Now, it had been 30 years back then since I had had a crying baby in my house. That was our daughter Elizabeth. And so immediately I thought that action should be taken. However, Chris and Donna, living as it were knee-deep in babies and toddlers day after day, paid no attention. They were much more sensitive to the nuances of a baby's cry than I was, because every time Christopher cried for me, it was, rescue, 911, initiate baby rescue plan, grandpa to the rescue. But we kept on talking and having coffee, and Chris and Donna kept on taking no notice, and I was beginning to wonder what kind of parents they were, when Donna finally got up, went upstairs, and whatever she did, he came down and Christopher was quiet for the rest of the evening. It's true, to cry is to be human, and to be human is to cry. The first sound we utter when we enter the world, not by our own choice, out of the safety of mother's body, is a cry. Ready or not, world, here I am. And from that first moment of birth, as we grow up, our cries begin to multiply and diversify into a different chorus of cries. The first cry is for help. That's where our spiritual life starts. Out of the depths I cry unto you, O Lord, listen to my voice. But then there are other cries for grief, for joy, ecstasy, many, many cries. And one measure of real spiritual growth is this. As I grow older with my own cries, then how willing am I to allow your cries to become part of my life, to listen to you? As Paul said, to weep when you weep and to rejoice when you rejoice. To be human is to cry, And to cry is to be human. When I was a little boy, somebody told me that you could take a seashell, and if you put it up to your ear, what would you hear? Of course you heard the ocean. How many of you heard the ocean? I still hear the ocean. I know it's not there, but I hear it. You know, you can do the same with the Bible. You can stick this book up to your ear. And if you listen hard enough, you can hear all these cries that I've told you about. Right from the beginning until the end of the book. The first biblical reference to crying is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, in the story where Cain has slain Abel. And God cries out to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And Cain responds, "Am I my brother's keeping?" And God says, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And thereby, in that statement, God has established a ground rule of the universe, which is this, that no innocent cry ever is gone unheard by God. And that we are always accountable to God for the cries of our brother and sisters. It's there at the beginning. Here's another cry. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, is the story of the death of Absalom, the son of David. This is a cry of agony, because Absalom, favorite son, has risen up in rebellion against his father David. And in the battle for control, Absalom has been slain. And in this story, the messenger runs from the battlefield, bringing David the word that Absalom is dead. And so the writer of this book writes that the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept as he went. You can see the picture of the king walking in grief to have some time of solitude in a room. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, if only I had died instead of you, my son, my only son." And in that moment, the bitter heart of an offended king is trumped by the broken heart of a grieving father. And I wonder how many times, I'll never know, my parents, in the dead of night, wondering where I was and what I was up to, they have awoken in the night and cried out. And we, for our children, when we see them walking in a way that we know is wrong, heading for trouble, we share the same cry as David for his son. But you know, it's not all gloom, is it? They're joyful cries. Here's one in Psalm 71. Cry of joy. "I will praise you with a harp. I will sing praise to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will cry out for joy when I sing praise to you." Remember that. There's one on the other end of the spectrum too. And here's a cry. Psalm 84. The cry to really feel and experience the presence of God. As the psalmist writes, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Not information, but transformation, inspiration, experience. And then finally, the scripture that we read. In Mark chapter 10, the cries that we know that walk the pages of the New Testament of the lame, the deaf, the blind, the halt, the poor, the demon-possessed, those who crowd the village streets at the news that the Lord is coming. A blind man cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." And yet, having shared all these cries, we have only skimmed the surface of the richness of the Scriptures. One of the best books I've read in the last 10 years is entitled, "Healing Through the Dark Emotions." Not healing of the dark emotions, but healing through the dark emotions. It was written by a Jewish psychotherapist named Miriam Greenspan. And I'd like to share one of her stories with you. This story appears in the chapter called Vulnerability. I'll be quoting a bit from this story as I share this story. In this story, she recalls the time back in 1981 when she and her husband, Roger, were overjoyed because they'd received the news that they were going to have their first child. She was 34 years old. She writes, "I was deliriously happy. I had none of the usual assortment of pregnancy ills and seemingly endless amounts of energy." So she exercised, ate healthy food, and she didn't even chew gum because gum has red dye. She writes, "I dedicated myself to nurturing this child within me." And with all that in place, they planned a cozy home birth with a chosen midwife. But then, in month number 8, everything went wrong. And she writes, "Suddenly I was in hard labor, filled with an ominous dread. Her husband rushed home to find her on her knees, in the living room, in prayer." And she writes, "This was totally out of character. I was a secular humanist and a social activist. I was not a spiritual speaker or a true believer. I had never prayed before. But my prayers were wrenched from a bottomless depth. Out of the depths I cry to you, an acknowledgement of my smallness in the face of what might be coming. And I prayed because I knew I was going to need help." The fundamental prayer, help. She was rushed to the hospital, and the baby was delivered, a little boy they named Aaron. Limp and unresponsive, Aaron was taken away to neonatal care and placed in isolate and put on oxygen. He writes, "He became the hospital's baby, not mine." Aaron was given permission against hospital policy to camp out on the floor of the baby ICU and a sleeping bag, and occasionally to have the baby at her side. And it was discovered that in month number 8, for a short period, the baby had been cut off from a supply of oxygen in her body. And she writes, "In the womb, universal symbol of safety, Aaron had been unaccountably vulnerable to harm. My womb had betrayed my own child." This went on for 66 days, all in the hospital. Aaron showed no change, no improvement. Father and mother kept their faithful vigil, holding him, rocking him whenever they could, speaking to him, writing songs, singing songs. And she remembers looking down into the baby's eyes and whispering, "We are the suns that shine down on you in your little world beneath the sea. We shine our love down on you." Then, on the 66th day, Aaron began to die. And although the staff were not permitting him to be taken off of the heart monitor or the IV, they did allow her to take him out of the oxygen box and placed in her arms and her husband's arms. During those final hours, Roger and Miriam rocked the child and sang and spoke and whispered, "Bless you, Aaron. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for entrusting yourself to us. And now, little one, it's time for you to let go. It's time for you to stop trying so hard. It's time for you to let your breathing stop. It's time to let your life be over and be at peace. We'll always love you and never forget you." Aaron was born 4:48, the morning of October 25th. Aaron died at 4:48, the morning of December 29th. It took Aaron as long to die as it did to be born, 6 hours and 20 minutes. Then she writes, at the moment of Aaron's death, I heard a baby's cry, loud and insistent. It struck me oddly as a sign of hope. But somewhere else, though my child was dead, another child was alive. On a clear December day, before the turn of the year, according to Jewish tradition, mother and father dug the grave and lowered the small coffin to the ground and began to shovel dirt over it. They sang songs, the ones that they had written for him in the hospital, and talked to him. And as they stood there looking down at the ground and the coffin disappearing under the shoveling of the earth, she writes, then softly, as though spoken in my ear, I heard these words. You're looking in the wrong place. She lifted her head from the ground and looked up into the sky, and she writes, it was a cloudless blue sky, bright and dazzling, the exact blue color of the baby's eyes. And then these words, again, don't worry about me. I'm all right. This story is our story. Not so much in the details, but in the essence. You and I live out our days swinging back and forth between grief and joy, between sorrow and happiness, failure and success, hope and despair. Here in one place in a hospital, a child draws his last breath. But here at the same moment in another place, a child draws her first breath. It is never always darkness, and it is never always light. The old spiritual puts it like this. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, and what's the chorus? Oh, yes, Lord. And the old preacher, Ecclesiastes, says this, that there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to laugh and a time to weep. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. But whatever the time, we have this promise, vaster, more infinite than a dazzling blue December sky, the color of a baby's eyes. The promise of God, I have heard the cries of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. For out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. And therefore I place it upon us. What is your cry? What is your cry? What is your cry? Name it. Claim it. And aim it like an arrow straight into the heart of God. Amen.